Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is the AGLCA, and that's America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. Just a quick explanation of what the Great Loop is. Many people don't know it exists. But there is a continuous waterway around the eastern half of North America. It encompasses the eastern seaboard, the Great Lakes, the Heritage Canal System in Canada, the inland rivers, and the Gulf of Mexico. And our association is made up of a group of people who just love the concept. Some of us have done it, some of us haven't, some of us just dream it. But we'd like to share information in the sense of the adventure. So if anyone would like to join, our webpage is www.greatloop.org, or you can call me at 877-478-5667, extension 5040. I'm Janice Cromer, and I'm the director of the group. I have with me today Beth McHugh, who is our marketing coordinator, part of the Homeport crew. Steve Cromer, our techie guy, is having trouble with technology and is trying to call in, so he may join us. But our guest host this week, and I'm very proud to introduce Dr. Jerry Reeves, former dean of the Medical University of South Carolina. And I have to tell you, he's a current looper. Right now he's in Peoria and is on his way as soon as the show is over. During the show, if you'd like to call in with any questions, the toll-free number is 877-497-1815. And again, during the show, we will have our question of the week where members or non-members can call in. Anyone who has the right answer gets either a one-year extension on their membership for current members or a one-year new membership. Okay, Jerry, may I call you Jerry?
Absolutely.
Okay,
we're all friends.
I've known Jerry for quite a number of years. We both come from Charleston. Well, I'm not a homegrown, but Jerry is. Let's talk about preventive maintenance, not just for the boat, but for us ourselves. How much time and effort and expense is generally put into a boat? Do you know?
Well, Janice, I think when it comes to boating, most people are preoccupied with systems on their boat, and that means engine or their technology, like Steve's working on, and their electronics, but they neglect the most important system. The most important system is one's human system, and if you don't keep your own motor running right, how can you expect to have a safe journey? And so in terms of how much time and effort is spent, I don't think that nearly enough time and effort is spent on that system as is on getting the right boat, getting right boat equipment, keeping it running, and that sort of thing. So what today's talk is about, or today's discussion, the question and answer is about how we can pay more attention to the most important system on the boat, namely the crew.
And where will we start? What are your suggestions?
Well, I think we start with preparing before one actually gets on the boat and starts the cruise. And the best thing to do in that regard is to get a very thorough physical exam from one's doctor. And when you're meeting with your doctor and contemplating a prolonged cruise like the Great Loop, you need to tell them that you're going to be gone 9 months to a year, and let him or her give you advice as to your own personal medical situation. But included in that are you need to carry with you a list of all your medical problems, a brief history of any surgeries you've had. Be certain you're up to date with your vaccinations and we're now into the flu season, and so everyone can, you can go to Walgreens or any other place. You're even on the loop. I see drug stores out here as we go from port to port offering the flu shot, and now it's time to do that. But then it's important, real important, for you to have records that you will take with you. And by records, I mean your most recent blood work. Just have your physician print it out, and you put it in a packet. X-rays and scans, if you've had anything like that, those are now put on a CD-ROM. Every X-ray you've ever had and every scan can be put on one CD-ROM, and you just take that with you in an envelope as well. And the same is true for your dental work. And what that, having those, the reason that's important is that if you're having a major problem, and they do blood work, you need a reference. You need to look back and say, oh, well, your creatinine, which is about how good your kidneys are, I see it runs a little high, and so maybe this isn't as bad as it might otherwise be. But you need to have a reference, and see, your local doctor has all that, but you don't have it when you're on the loop and you're out cruising and you go into a strange doctor. And so having that information is crucial.
Gary, is that something that your physician will give you readily? I mean, it's not out of the ordinary to ask for it?
You have to ask for it, and excuse me. And he will give it to you. One thing that patients frequently don't remember is that their medical record is their medical record. They own it. It's their material. It's confidential, and it's your material. So they're obliged, if you ask for it, to give it to you. So don't ever hesitate to do that. Same for the copies of, tell them just to run off. We all know who have computers now, how easy it is to download something onto a CD-ROM, and they'll be glad to do it. It's your material, yes, that's a very good question. Don't hesitate to ask your physician to give you what you need.
Thank you, Jerry. What about your teeth? Should you be concerned about that?
Well, now that I'm out on the loop, I've learned a lot about this, and one of the things I've learned is that dental emergencies and dental problems are every bit seem almost as prevalent as medical problems, and we're not prepared. None of the first aid kits have anything about dentistry in them, and so my suggestion is you get a good dental workup, make sure there are no loose or cracked fillings or any other bridge work. Make sure that's all in good shape before you go, and get those X-rays, and then ask your dentist to give you something, and I don't have it myself, but I wish I did, and I understand there are such things, that if you lose a filling, you can pack it with something that he has, or she has, carry that with you and ask your dentist for it, because I've gone to the drugstores and they don't seem to have it, so it's got to be procured from your dentist.
Jerry, you bring up a good point. I don't think I've ever seen a dental kit or an emergency dental kit. I mean, it's just, even the medical kits don't do anything for dental pain. Do you have any idea why that is?
Well, no. I think it has to do with the fact that the two healthcare provider groups just don't have much to do with each other. And, dentists are separate from physicians, and they consider themselves, everyone considers them separate, and they just don't meet in the middle like with a medical kit to take on a trip, but they should. And if we ever come up with a new kind of kit, which we might do after we finish our survey, we need to talk about survey before we quit the program. But you know, that would be in it. There would be dental emergency stuff in there. There's dental.
Well, any dentist out there wanting a new line of business when they retire, listen to us. We need dental kits, I guess you'd call them. Jerry, I know one big concern of all of us who are closing our prescriptions. How do you recommend we handle that?
Yeah, again, another good question about being prepared. You get the actual prescriptions, copies of them from your doctor. Obviously, you give them to the one you will give to the pharmacy, but you have your physician write you two, one you keep and one you give to the pharmacy. And then also you make a PDF or have their office make a PDF, which is a copy that you can carry, again, in that file you're going to carry with you with your x-rays and things of your prescriptions. And then anytime you go to a pharmacy and need a new, you can just print out your prescription from the PDF. It's good for 1 year. And if you're out longer than a year, you'll have to call your doctor or have the pharmacy call the doctor and renew it. But another important thing about prescriptions is go to a chain. I mean, we all have our neighborhood drugstore that we like, and we like people in it, but the chains are the way to have a prescription record on board on when you go on an extended away trip, because you can go to any Walmart or any Walgreens or any Rite Aid, whatever, and they will have in their computer system your prescription and will renew it as you need it if they have it, and so you don't have to call the doctor and that sort of thing. So
you
that's
have
really,
any experience with Canada, with getting prescriptions filled in Canada?
No, I didn't.
Here, if they have Walmarts and Walgreens in Canada.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't, and I have talked to people about it, and you can get medicines in Canada from the pharmacy there, even with a prescription from a U.S. physician. But my advice is, on the loop, most people are not in Canada more than 50 or 60, 70 days, and you can get a three-month supply. So the last thing you do before you leave the United States is get a three-month supply of whatever medicine you're taking, and then unless you lose it or goes overboard or something like that, you'll be okay.
Good suggestion. Thank you. What about exercise? I know sometimes your boat doesn't have that much room. What do you suggest you do? Is it important to keep physically fit while you're on the loop?
Well, you know, that are you still there?
I am.
Yeah, my phone dropped. Exercise is the single best thing you can do for preventive medicine, or preventing anything almost, you know, heart disease, cancers, all sorts of things. So it's very important that you have an exercise regime, and it's very important that you do it regularly. Now, the problem when cruising is, as you mentioned, you don't have a lot of space on your boat, but you can do things like push-ups, and you can do stair steps, not while you're underway, but when you're at anchor, you can. And that's, you know, doing a stair step is just as much exercise as running on a track. You can do these things. You just have to have the discipline to get it done. The goal is to do 20 minutes of aerobic, something that raises your heart rate, 20 minutes every day. Now, when you're in port, it's much easier. You can walk or run or swim or whatever. But when you're at anchor or underway, it's not as easy. But it's very important. It's the single most important thing, in fact, you can be doing to maintain your health. So you have to be religious about it, and I suggest keeping a log, just like, you know, everybody on boats has logs, and they tend to be what the fuel is, how much oil is in the is added, or what, how much oil is in the engine, and not what the exercise did I do today or yesterday, and really ought to have that. It's very important. It's just like your engine's oil. And so you should check it every day, meaning you should do it, and then you should report somewhere that you are doing it.
Okay, Ned, can you recommend, if you only have room for a single first aid book, I know we don't have, again, a lot of room on our boats. Can you give us some suggestions on what you should get?
Well, the most thorough and complete is that almost impossible to read in our age group. I mean, meaning people over, most of the people out doing the Great Loop anyway, or I've noticed, seem to be over 50. But your eyes get a little worse as you get older. But the Weiss book is entitled Marine Medicine. It's a tiny little book. You get a magnifying glass and you can read it. It's very thorough, very complete. The problem with it is it's really wilderness medicine made to sort of sound like it belongs on a boat. And so there's a lot of stuff in it that you won't need to know or encounter. But it's the most thorough, easy to transport, and it's available at every West Marine.
Okay, great. Thank you. Before we leave that,
all the men on who are listening perhaps remember being in the Boy Scouts, and the Boy Scouts little handbook, first aid handbook, has been redone. It's really excellent. It's well illustrated. It's much easier to follow than the Weiss book, and so I would take both of them. But if you have need first aid, which we're finding is the main problem on the loop, is people are having accidents more than they're getting sick. And so you need a real quick, simple first aid book, and I would get it from the Boy Scouts of America. It's better than it used to be.
I believe the Boy Scouts have a web page and a web store that you can probably order it from. I haven't looked for it specifically. I know they do have a store because I've used it for my grandson, but they may have it in their store.
I'm sure they do. And it's also available on Amazon.
Oh, okay, great. I don't want to take a lot of time on medicine chest. That's the next subject Jerry wanted to talk about. But very honestly, Jerry did a wonderful show for us a few months ago and detailed in very, very clear terms what you should have in your medicine chest. Rather than take Jerry's time now, I suggest you go to the archives of our blog radio show and listen to Jerry's talk, and you can find out what to put in your medicine chest. I'm going to interrupt now and ask our question of the week. And anybody who's been a regular listener, you know that we have a question. If you answer it correctly, you get a membership. And we are going to step back to a few weeks ago and ask a question that nobody could answer. Any of our resourceful members may have looked it up in our frequently asked questions or read our webpage. But the question is, in what year was AGLCA founded? If you know the answer, if you want to just give it a shot, the number is 877-497-1815. Jerry, we'll pick up now with your talk on diet, but Beth may have to interrupt you if we get a caller. Tell us about a diet. Is it important?
Well,
is it not important?
You know, the equally important, exercise and diet are both the two cardinal ways to maintain one's health. And we were told by our mothers growing up to eat a balanced diet, still holds. That's what we should be striving for. And people, again, on the loop might say, well, I can't get fresh vegetables, and therefore I can't get all my fruits and vegetables. And I have a simple answer to that. You can get them before you even leave port, and you just get them in a can, C-A-N, canned goods. They are every bit as nutritional as fresh, you can store up all both vegetables and fruits that are canned and carry them with you. Obviously, it's better, just more fun, to go to the markets that you'll encounter at each port. And they're usually a farmer's market on a Saturday or Wednesday in most of the ports, and get fresh, but or go to any grocery store and get fresh. But if you can't get fresh and you say, well, I'm not going to have any fruit or vegetable today, which are very important for maintaining your balanced diet, there's no reason not to say that, because you can open up a can and there it is. And I think a lot of people think just because it's been canned, it isn't a same nutritional or health benefit, and that's not true. It's every bit as good as the fresh item. So, you know, grains are important. That's the bottom of the so-called pyramid. You want plenty of bread and wheat and oats, whatever it is, that like that, and then you need some dairy products and meat. But the thing to stay away from are the oils and the fats and the sweets. Everybody knows this, but it's when you're cruising, it's a little bit harder, and it's always tempting every morning to have a honey bun or something like that instead of a bowl of cereal But again, it's like exercise. You have to be rigorous and you have to be careful what you eat, or otherwise you're going to find that your waistline expands and your health is not as good as it was.
I have to tell you, it seems to be the practice of a lot of the good marinas out there, is they'll put a box of donuts or a box of buns on your boat each morning as a thank you for staying there. Don't eat them.
Yeah, and they taste good, and I eat them, but every time I eat it, I say, why am I eating this? Because I know it's not good for me, and it's the worst way to get calories, whereas the other food, which is easy enough to prepare when you're cruising, is just having the discipline to do so.
Mm-hmm. I know often when we're cruising, I skip lunch. It's just, you know, you're in the middle of cruising. It's inconvenient. You have to go to the galley and put something together. And then I tend to overeat at dinner. And I've heard that's not really healthy.
That's really bad. You should eat a good breakfast, and you should have a nutritious snack type lunch. You're not going to be. You're right. When you're underway, and almost everyone is underway at the noontime meal, and you know that's when a good sandwich with a nice piece of meat or even cheese on it and an apple. Are very good. Maybe some yogurt, things of that kind. They're quick and easy to make. And right now on our boat, it's two men, if you can believe it, and we don't have my excellent cook wife, Jenny, on board, and we're fixing sandwiches every day. So you can do it, and we're eating that lunch, which is important, and staying away from the big heavy meal at night. One thing I think in this category, when we're talking about putting things in our mouth, that's very, very important, and I found this out personally on the trip, is fluids. It's the tendency when you're not doing much, just sitting at the helm and sitting on a boat, is to figure out, oh, well, I don't need to drink very much. But what we found and what I've observed is that it's very easy to get volume depleted. You know, the wind is blowing and you're cool enough and everything, but your body is losing fluid like crazy. And so you have to drink lots of glasses of water. I fix a dilute Gatorade and drink that during the day, and even if I'm not thirsty. It's very important because you can easily get dehydrated out here in the sun, the wind, and it doesn't matter what the temperature is, and that's a serious problem for you in terms of functioning well.
And I assume you're not talking about beer or wine.
Beer and wine. You should never drink. I saw a neat sign in one of the marinas in Canada. Actually, it says, "Water on the water and beer on the pier." That's a good thing to remember. Absolutely, never, ever drink any alcohol while you're underway and operating your boat. That's just absolute. That's for your safety. Forget the laws and everything else. That's preventive medicine. And then when you're back at port and having a cocktail, and everyone seems to have what they call docktails, or meet on the dock and have cocktails. Anyway, cocktails are fine, just in moderation.
Okay, Jerry, I'm going to stop you here.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
Huh?
Yes, go ahead.
We did have a winner. It's Larry McLaughlin, and he is a member, so we'll be extending his membership for a year for free.
Okay, somebody did their research. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, what's the answer?
Hey, I know you wanted an opportunity to talk a little bit about the medical survey that is so important to all of our future cruises and our present cruisers. Why don't you take the mic for a few minutes?
Janice?
Yes.
Before you do that, Beth, maybe you could give the answer to the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, we might want to use it again.
The correct answer was 1999. Thank you, Steve. Okay, Jerry, give us some information on the medical survey from which you're gathering information.
I know our time is running low, Janice, and I will do that because I can do that quickly. But the last thing, and this will wrap it up so we don't have to come back, is dress. The other preventive thing while you're boating is to be dressed properly. Always wear shoes when you're on deck. Always wear gloves when you're handling lines. Always wear a shirt, no matter what the conditions, because of sun. Always wear sunglasses. Wear goggles when you're working with the batteries and the acid is around. And wear long sleeve shirts to help with your sun exposure. In the winter, wear fleece or wool. And a hat is very good. And I think I mentioned sunglasses with 100% UV protection.
Uh-huh.
But what you wear is one of the most important things you can do to prevent problems of the injury variety and or sunburn and things of that kind. So I just wanted to get that in because people tend not to dress properly a lot of times, and I see it all the time out here on the water, particularly in Canada. I never saw a shirt on a single Canadian boater. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it just seems to be the way up there. But I guess they get so little sun.
The sun, yeah.
most of the year. But anyway, now, so dress properly and protect yourself is the goal of, with that recommendation.
And, I appreciate you taking the time to finish up quickly, Jerry. Thank you. We have as much time as you need, but I know you want to get on your way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a storm here, and we want to get out. But what I was going to say about the survey, with the help of the Great Loop Association, we are doing a medical survey that's proved research, trying to find out what is actually happening to people from the point of view of illnesses and injuries. The data will be only as good as the input from members and others who might be voting and listening to this. So our plea is to please, if you have any problem medically related, both an injury or an illness, go to the Great Loop website, member section. Right at the top is the medical survey. It takes about a minute or two or three at most to fill in. And the benefit I've found, as people have told me too, is that if you've got a problem and you go onto that website, it lists, under treatment, it lists all the commonly used treatments. So if you don't really know what to do about your problem, there's a list of options there that you can consider. Obviously, a doctor needs to make a full evaluation, but if you're having diarrhea and you want to see what you want to report it, and then you might look at what the treatments for diarrhea are, and if there's one you didn't try, well, you might try it. If you're still having a problem, so that's an added benefit of having that information up on the Great Loop website. It does have for each problem, it has a list of things you could be doing to take care of it. And so fill in that survey. Nothing's too minor and nothing's too major, but we need the data. At some point, we will summarize it all, make it available to the Great Loop organization, hopefully write it up, maybe even write a better book about cruising health at some point that's based on the evidence we're getting from this survey. Steve, you want to make it a little clear about how to use the website?
If you go to the website, on the upper right-hand area is where the survey shows up. So it's just very, very easy to get to. I don't know how much more description I can do.
Very easy to fill out. The people who have done it have been amazed how quickly it goes.
Yeah.
You just go to www.greatloop.org. There's a row of blue tabs across the center top of the page, and click on Members Only. And, Jerry, it's the first option, medical survey?
Yes. Yep. Last time I looked at it was.
I don't think it changed, have you, Steve?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I'm going to close the show, Jerry. I know there's a storm there. You can disconnect whenever you want, and thank you so much for taking the time. Safe cruising, and we'll see you in Rogersville for the rendezvous.
That's right. I'll be there, and I'll give a brief report at the rendezvous of what we've learned from the survey.
Fantastic. Thank you. For those of you who don't know, our shows are all archived at www.greatloop.org. Don't forget to go back and listen to Jerry on what should be in your medicine chest. I'm really happy to tell you that the next week's show will feature Bob Duffy. Bob's